On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is On Point. Patrick Henry College is a small school with big ambitions and some would say outsized influence. Its goal is to prepare Christian men and women to lead the nation and shape its culture with biblical values. It promotes strict interpretation of the Bible, which means science professors teach that creationism is both biblically true and consistent with observable fact. Patrick Henry wants to train a new generation of Christian politicians, and it's doing just that. Its students are among the nation's brightest, with internships in the White House, with Republican politicians, and at conservative think tanks in Washington. Up next on Point, higher ed for the Christian right and the evangelical Ivy League. And joining me now from Washington are three students from Patrick Henry College. They're all seniors. Rachel Williams is there in Washington. She's from San Diego, California. She's a government public policy major and has been politically active while at Patrick Henry. For the past two election cycles, she's worked with a Christian youth activism group called Generation Joshua. In 2004 and 2005, she worked on Republican congressional and gubernatorial campaigns in Virginia and in Kentucky. She's also an award-winning debater, and I gather there are a lot of award-winning debaters there at Patrick Henry, and a debate coach. And her future plans include law school. Welcome to you, Rachel Williams.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. And Judah Kiley. From San Jose, California. He's a literature major. He's interned at a non-denominational church in California and worked for a nonprofit that keeps churches up to date about legislation that could affect their congregations. He plans to attend seminary school and become a minister. And Judah, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and finally, Brian Wright. He's from Wilmington, Ohio, and majoring in strategic intelligence at Patrick Henry. He, too, has waded into politics. In 2005, he was a White House intern. In 2004, he was a foot soldier for President Bush in his reelection campaign and served as logistics manager of Generation Joshua. He's also one of those award-winning debaters. And welcome to you, Brian.
Thank you.
So let me start. And, you know, what I really want to encourage you to do in this hour, I mean, I'll be asking you individual questions, but don't hesitate to sort of chime in and talk over each other and mix it up. We want to sort of make this lively. And, of course, eventually we'll get the listeners in on this conversation. Basic question, why Patrick Henry College? Rachel, let me start with you. Why was this a good idea? Why a four-year college that promotes Christian values?
Well, Patrick Henry was able to offer me things that I didn't feel really any other college really in the country was able to, really in two unique aspects. The first is the Christian liberal arts focus, especially the core curriculum is excellent. It's deeply embedded both in the classics as well as in a Christian worldview. As we engage all philosophies, all sorts of ways of looking at the world and really examine them, the excellence of education, the excellence of professors, is really incredible. The academics are incredibly rigorous.
But couldn't I mean, you're a talented student. I know that the average SATs down there are really impressive. They're over 1350, I think, something like that I saw in the literature.
Right.
I mean, you're all really bright students. You could have gone to any number of great schools. Why specifically this one?
Well, specifically this one, because it does combine that academic rigor with a Christian worldview, and we are able to engage the classics. Similar, although a little bit different from a lot of great book programs you'll find at other colleges, but to able to do so with looking for the objective truth that we feel that Christianity has to offer, and the combination of the two is extraordinarily unique within Patrick Henry. Mm. But beyond that, also as a government major, the proximity to D.C. and the ability to go in for internships, or not to just do the normal 6-month internship that most government majors do, but to be able to have part-time internships ongoing throughout the 4 years at Patrick Henry is really something that very few colleges can offer.
Mm. Brian Wright, you want to chime in on that question? What was attractive to you?
Well, to me, I think, you know, you grow a lot. Patrick Henry is a very rigorous place, and it's, you know, you mentioned that a lot of the students are very talented. So having an intelligent and talented student body that is completely devoted to the person of Jesus Christ, to me, is the biggest reason for going to school. But also just how much we've learned during this time. We learn not to dwell at the top level of analysis of what goes on in politics, what goes on in the world, but actually to have a framework of deep analysis of policy issues, of life questions, of community questions. And so in that sense, I think Patrick Henry College turned out to be a good selection.
And Judah Kiley, did you consider any other college, or was this the one?
Oh, yes. I looked at other schools. I was looking into different programs that would really teach me in the classics and have advanced study in philosophy and literature. And I was just absolutely intrigued by Patrick Henry College. I love the mission. I love the type of student that they were calling for. And also, I just love the newness of it. And I kind of wanted to be a part of this experiment.
It is an experiment, isn't it? I mean, this school was founded in the year 2000, so it's brand new. You're really a brand new set of experimental students. What's that been like, Judah?
It's been excellent. It's been a wonderful opportunity. I can't think of being around better professors or better students.
Hmm. And Rachel, for you, the newness of this experience. I mean, one of the things that I think a lot of people think about when they go to college and university, you're stepping into a tradition, you're walking into buildings where hundreds of students, thousands of students have walked before you over the generations. It's got to be a lot different there, the feel.
Well, in many ways it is, because we do have a small student body population. We are a small campus. But I think what's really neat about Patrick Henry is, because of our emphasis on the classics and the emphasis on Christian tradition, when you talk about walking down the steps that people have, you know, the paths that people have walked before, we are doing that in the sense that we are reading things that are thousands of years old, and that we are following the footsteps of great minds, great academics so far before us. So while we as a college are new, in our academic experience, it very much has the feeling of following in the great footsteps of great minds that have come before us. Mm. And in that sense, we truly are following a very old, a very rigorous tradition.
You know, when you read the literature on the website of Patrick Henry, it's very clear that there's a political mission put in place there by the founder. They really want to, the school is really hoping to groom future political leaders. I want to talk to you specifically about the internships you've had. But let me ask you, you know, to respond to this idea or to this sort of challenge, and that is the political mission being put before the educational mission at Patrick Henry? Brian Wright, why don't you start with that?
Yeah, I think the first thing there is that if you look at the news recently, we've got George Ryan's conviction yesterday.
The former governor of Illinois.
Racketeering, yes, that's right. And for those of us that have been watching Jeff Skilling on trial in the Enron event, I think that something is very clear, and that's the need to have people with a strong moral system in positions of influence nationally. And there's a tremendous amount of demand for that. We have an expectation in America that politicians should be men and women of integrity. And so that's why I think that I'm so excited about Patrick Henry, because essentially it's training, it's educating young men and women who have a dedication to their faith and a dedication to living a right lifestyle, who are then going to make it into positions of the public trust. And who better to be in a position of public trust than individuals who have received a good education and, on top of that, are dedicated to a system of ethics that's rooted in thousands of years of Christian tradition and the truths of the Bible.
Rachel Williams, you talked about the importance of a liberal arts education. Again, I think a lot of people listening to the radio are going to say, but liberal arts is about being open to lots of different ideas and being challenged by lots of different ideas. And, you know, they might rightfully wonder, is there a political agenda here that's being put before the educational agenda? So basically the same question I asked Brian to you.
I would say definitely not. As we approach education, we do approach it as Christians, and we do believe there is absolute truth. But I think we engage all of the great philosophers. We engage everyone from ancient Greece up through modern day. And I think it's really a false dichotomy to say that we have to choose between politics or religion, or between religion and education. And I think at Patrick Henry, the beautiful thing about it, and the reason why I think we chose that college, is because it does such an excellent job of melding all three in a way that we can be Christians and yet engage the great thoughts. We're certainly not sheltered or isolated at PHC. We read, in fact, firsthand. We don't, you know, read works based on them, although we do that as well.
Let me just ask you all about the homeschooling number. A lot of you were homeschooled, if not for your entire academic careers before college, most of it. What was it, you know, I guess I'm just trying to imagine arriving at a college after you've been homeschooled for so long and suddenly you're sitting in a classroom with other people. Was that a big adjustment, Rachel?
Well, not really, in the sense that I think that certainly there's some things that you're not really experienced with when you do homeschool. But at the same time, the self-discipline that it teaches you, the ability to apply yourself, the ability to be a self-starter, to go out there and pursue your interests are really probably the most invaluable skills walking into college. And the discipline that it teaches really, I think, makes the transition very easy for most of the students.
Yeah, anyone else want to? Yeah, who's that?
That's Brian.
Hi, Brian.
It's kind of jarring, certainly, to arrive in the classroom after growing up just studying at at my desk at home. But at the same time, I think that's exactly what's so great about Patrick Henry College, is it provides that avenue for students that have been raised and educated at home because their parents believed that that was the best way to conduct their education. Patrick Henry provides that avenue for them to transition very, very strongly into politics or business or positions of influence, wherever.
Yeah. And Judah Kiley, were you homeschooled for most of your pre-college
years? Yes, I was. It was not a rough transition at all. I mean, my homeschool environment involved a lot of socialization and a lot of hard work academically as well as in the work field. So I was definitely used to working with people. So the stereotype that homeschoolers are non-social and they don't know how to work in a classroom environment, for the most part, I find to be untrue. I went to junior college for a year. I took classes with other students, and I was very involved in Boy Scouts and in sports and other things. And so,
oh, Judah, that interests me. You went to a junior, so you went to a, for lack of a better term, a secular junior college. What was that like? I mean, what was that experience like? And compare that to the difference by the, when you got to Patrick Henry.
Well, academically, compared to Patrick Henry, I mean, I learned, but it was a joke academically compared to. To the school that I'm going to now.
In terms of academic rigor.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as just, I mean, they're students. You go to school and you take classes from a professor and you associate there.
I guess what I was getting at, was it difficult in any way going to school with students who might not have had a Christian perspective, who might not have been like-minded students in that sense?
No, it wasn't. Because we're all human beings. We all are seeking for truth. As far as I didn't have any difficulty with those students at all. I do appreciate a Christian environment like Patrick Henry, sure, because I am around, people who believe likewise, but also are willing to challenge me and make me think through different things. But, I'm not sure quite, what you're getting at as far as
no, you answered what I was getting at, and
okay.
And it was and it's very clear. And let's go to some callers. Aaron is calling from Boxford, Massachusetts. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. What's up?
I am extremely worried. I grew up, my aunt raised me. She worked in the administrations of several evangelical Christian colleges around the country. So I cut my teeth on the evangelical Christian college concept. And I myself went to Azusa Pacific University for a year and a half, and I have a degree in political science. And my concern is, while I consider myself a Christian, my concern is that the evangelical Christian view does not promote diversity, does not allow for diversity, and is intolerant of people with other viewpoints. And that's why I left the university. I loved an evangelical Christian environment. I thought it was incredibly wonderful that we were able to pray about things. We were able to pray before our tests. I loved that. But the overall concepts promoted by the evangelical Christians are not at all tolerant or inclusive, and that to me just doesn't match the entire American population, which, as you know, is very diverse.
Okay, it's a great point that you raise, Aaron. Let's let Rachel, Brian, and Judah have at it. Who wants to go first? Rachel?
I'll take it.
Yeah, go ahead. And that's Judah, right?
Brian, actually. Yeah, Aaron, I think this is an important concern that you've raised historically in the Christian community. But Patrick Henry College doesn't stand for intolerance. What Patrick Henry College is all about is actually thinking legitimately through issues and analyzing. I don't think there's a Christian justification for hatred or for bigotry. And definitely not for suppressing diversity, racial and ethnic diversity, I think is a very important part of the American experience. And I don't think if you talk to a single Patrick Henry student, you'd run into any concern on the account of tolerance for racial differences. You will run into some differences when it comes to sexual lifestyles, for example, but I don't think that you'll find a Patrick Henry student that stands for discrimination or hatred against anybody, even because of their sexual orientation. So,
but Brian, Aaron used a word that I thought was important, and that is diversity. And let me read a quote from Nancy Keenan, who is with the Liberal Campaign Group, People for the American Way. I'm sure you know who she is, right? She says, "We're concerned that these students are not exposed to the kind of diversity this country has. They're training people with a very limited ideological and political view. If these young people are going into positions of power, they have to govern with all the people in mind, not just a limited number." So it's this issue of diversity, that you're not being exposed to a diverse group of students, that a lot of folks in colleges, have that experience.
In terms of diversity of thought and diversity of life experiences, well, first of all, I think that Patrick Henry's apprenticeship model is just perfect for this. I mean, I've been involved in the workplace through three or four different major internships where I've been exposed to, I've made friends with homosexuals, with Muslims, with all kinds of different people from all kinds of different walks of life. And I've had an academic fellowship, and you'll talk to a lot of Patrick Henry students that have had academic fellowships that put them in discussions about political thought with Harvard students and Yale students and students from all over the country. So in terms of some sort of sheltered groupthink sort of environment, that's not what Patrick Henry is at all. It's all about widening experience and widening the thought and the different perspectives that we analyze. Mm.
Rachel or Judah, do you want to chime in on this issue of diversity and the concern of some that you folks aren't being exposed to sort of all of the colors and points of view that make up America?
This is Judah.
Hi, Judah.
I think it's necessary to appreciate diversity and the diversity that we have in America, but I don't think it's necessary to yourself be diverse if you do believe in absolute truth. If you do believe, for instance, as we do at this college, that Christianity does present a right worldview, then you yourself it's okay to have those beliefs. You just have to be loving and appreciative of other people, and I think maybe that's a concern is that people at Patrick Henry College, for the most part, agree on certain foundational principles, but that's legitimate for any college to be founded for a purpose and for certain principles.
Hmm. Let me lead into a discussion about some of the issues of the day that I think some of our listeners would be very interested to hear you folks talk about. Judah, let me come to you. You want to enroll in seminary school and become a minister. What's your view on what many regard as a sacred constitutional principle of the separation of church and state?
I think it's misunderstood so much. The purpose of that principle, if we consider that to be a constitutional principle, is for the protection of the church. Ultimately, you have from the beginning you have the control of the church in previous monarchies by the government, and they wanted to install principles that protected freedom of religion, and so I do believe that churches should be able to speak to their congregations and encourage them in their morality and in their walks of life, and they shouldn't be restricted in their beliefs and unfortunately, that's the way people are trying to read this separation of church and state clause as something that the government can come in and actually control what the churches do and what they say and who they hire, for instance.
But protection of the church, not protection, for example, of a Muslim to sit in a public school classroom and be exposed to a Christian prayer, for example. I mean, is that a protection that it would recognize?
I haven't really thought through that necessarily. I do think that it is important as a nation to have certain principles that we espouse, and prayer is important, as well as I think, for instance, the Ten Commandments are things that we can all agree on as very important things. I would think even a Muslim could agree on those as absolutely important for us as a people.
Rachel Williams, can I ask you, as the representative woman from Patrick Henry College, what about feminism? What does that mean to you? Is that something you embrace or run from?
Well, I guess I could say neither. It's actually ironic that you mentioned that. I've been studying feminism for over a good year now. And as I engage with it, I think there's often a false dichotomy represented to women that either you can be a feminist or you can be virtually unintelligent, that if you are an intelligent woman, if you want to move and shape society, that you have to embrace a certain ideology which would see women as, you know, being repressed, or that would reject certain gender roles. And I simply don't think that that's necessary. I think that women can impact culture both through public policy. I wish to go to law school, as well as being wives and as well as being mothers. The raising of the next generation is fundamental to what our society is going to be. And if we don't have strong mothers as well as strong fathers, if the family unit is not intact, it simply means devastating things to our society.
Ryan is calling from New York City. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi. To me, it sort of seems that the purpose of school is about pursuing truth, which your guests have talked about. So what I'm specifically worried about is how this school deals with science. And if they even teach science, and if they teach it in a way that teaches the students about views that might be contradicting what they previously believe in order to challenge them, or if it's just sort of glossed over.
That's a great question, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Rachel, Brian, Judah, respond to Ryan. How is science taught? Who wants to take that question?
I'll take that one.
Yeah, that's Brian again.
Yes, that's right.
I'm beginning to recognize your
sure.
voices. Go ahead,
sure.
Ryan.
Well, I think that the key issue here is that Patrick Henry students are presented with all that the scientific community has to offer. We are educated fully on evolution. It is definitely taught as a theory of origins in Patrick Henry science classes. But it's also presented, intelligent design is presented as the official position, the official school position.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very solid movement within the scientific community that supports that. And the essence of the argument is simply in a planet of carbon-based life forms, the complexity that is required for our planet and for our human race to survive is so fine-tuned that traditional uniformitarian evolution does not present a valid explanation of those origins.
Interesting. You know, I'm just looking. I happen to have a printout from your website, from Patrick Henry's website, about this. And here's what it says about creation. It says all faculty for such courses will be chosen on the basis of their personal adherence to this view, that is creation. But then it goes on to say, as you said, Brian, expects its faculty in these courses, as in all courses, to expose students to alternate theories and the data, if any, which support those theories. But
sure.
that you would teach that creationism is taught both as biblically true and as the best fit to observed data.
That's correct.
Yeah. Anyone else want to chime in on the science question, Rachel or Judah?
I think Brian pretty well covered it, in the sense that we are presented with all the views, and but nevertheless, it is taught in such a way that we believe that the Bible presents the view that best comports with the scientific reality. And many theories have come and gone over thousands of years about how the world came into being, but Christianity provides the most long-lasting theory, as well as the theory that we believe best explains the origins of the universe.
Let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Jackson, South Carolina. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I would like to know, as succinctly as the group can articulate it, what the perfect America would look like to Patrick Henry graduates?
I think this is a great question. To me, the most important thing is the revitalization of the American traditional family structure. I want to see strong families. I want to see strong communities. And I think that a lot of the social pathologies that we've seen endemic to American society since the 1960s have been related to the breakdown of the family. And so to me, the most important thing that I can do is raise a family according to the Christian principles and family values in which I was raised, and try and contribute to that in my community. And so, to me, I think that's the number one thing that I would like to see. That's what America should look like.
Rachel Williams, Rachel, go ahead.
Well, I think something that would be incredibly important is both within our community and family structures, as well as within our political policies, that we value life in all of its stages, whether it be loving children and changing the abortion laws, or valuing the elderly, both as that applies to euthanasia policy, but also really, I believe firmly, as Brian said, that the problems can begin and end in the home. They can begin and end within the family. And really, within our culture, there's such a focus on consumerism, on productivity, on going out and, you know, achieving material success, that oftentimes I think the family and relationships and community are often left in the background and really don't have the focus. And I think we're seeing that impact. For example, as America is aging and we simply don't have the voluntary caregivers within America like we used to, because the family structure is breaking down and there simply aren't people that are able to stay at home and care for their aging relatives or for their children. I think that would be changed in an ideal America.
Judah Kiley?
Yes, I thought Brenda asked an excellent question. I would probably change it, though. Rather than what would I look for in a perfect America or what would a perfect America look like, I'd say what would a healthy America look like, because I don't think any of us here believe that perfection is going to be possible. People have been trying for utopia for years, and it's not possible on this earth. But I would say it would look like this, and that would be the two commandments that Jesus talks about in the Bible, and that is love of God and love of neighbor. I think in America right now, we are somewhat glutted on consumerism and on self, and the individual is important. He's absolutely important, but I think we need to begin as American, and as Rachel was saying, the multi-ethnic and multi-generational love for others, and then also love for God, because ultimately that's where human value comes from. I think that's absolutely essential for us to be a healthy nation.
Thank you all for that. You know, one of the things we've made reference to is Patrick Henry's sort of direct line to Washington, D.C. and to some of the corridors of Republican power there. Brian, you were an intern in President Bush's White House, correct? Can you give me a sense of what that was like, what you did there?
It was a fabulous opportunity. I worked in the Presidential Personnel Office. Essentially in the National Security Division. So my department was basically responsible for a lot of the Department of Defense and Department of State appointments. So I got to meet a lot of people and go through a lot of resumes. And I was really surprised and excited about the importance of the work that I was able to do. You know, it was a very great educational experience. It's opened up a lot of doors for me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because it gives you a sense of what you'd like to do when you get out in terms of a job in government or public service.
There's no question that eventually I do want to be involved in public service. Right now, my focus as far as graduation, I've got a job in corporate America. I'm going to get married in June, and so I think for the first few years, I'm just going to focus on developing a good, healthy family life. But eventually, yeah, there is no question that I would like to be involved in politics.
Dan is calling from Williston, Vermont. Hello, Dan.
Hello. Granted, I don't know these individuals. I'm sure they're all bright, and they have differing opinions that I couldn't get to know very quickly. But the problem I have with them is that they profess to know the truth, and not unlike many college students, I think that's the way it is with college kids, but their truth comes from a religious sense. And, for instance, one of them said he's sure that everybody could agree that we could all live by the Ten Commandments, but I believe one of the Ten Commandments is that thou shalt have no other gods but me. That doesn't exactly allow for diversity. Their vision of a perfect society with a family life, I'm sure their family life wouldn't include two gay people being the parents of a child.
Okay, Dan, you've raised a couple of good points. I think, Judah, was it you that made reference to the Ten Commandments? Respond to Dan, if you will.
Well, I understand that not everybody can agree or is willing to agree on certain things. But I'm just wondering why diversity is a more important principle than principles of truth that we can find in natural law, and which we find in religion. I'm not sure how diversity is more important.
Well, I mean, one of the answers to that might be that truth, depending on what religion you adhere to, can mean two very different. Can mean something very different. For example, let me ask you all about an issue of the day, and that is the intersection of Islam with the Western world. I'm sure you've all thought about it. We're fighting a war in Iraq. How do we think about this? Let me come to you, Rachel.
Well, I think that as we look at the intersection of Islam and many different countries, especially in Europe, what we see is that there is a vacuum morally and spiritually in Europe as Christianity is rejected, or is it so watered down that it loses its poignancy, to the point that there is a desire for absolutes. There is a desire for truth. And Islam is able to fill that void, unfortunately, as we see cultures wholeheartedly embracing Islam. For example, in the Middle East, we see them becoming more fundamentalist. And oftentimes, the implications for society, we would argue, I think that the implications, because Islam is not the truth, are often really harmful for that society in the rights of women, in the rights of free speech, in the rights of religion, where people can be executed because they simply don't believe in Islam. And in that sense, embracing it in that cultural sense, I think empirically has proven to be rather dangerous.
Brian Wright, do you want to fill out anything that Rachel is saying?
I'd love to, Anthony. I think that the key issue here is that we stand as Christians for a free public square. And I have had some really productive and helpful conversations with my Muslim friends and coworkers. And I think that the most important thing, and I hope I can alleviate some of Dan's concerns here, the most important thing from a policy perspective is that we create a national environment that is conducive to discussion of what is truth. Because I do claim to know it. All three of us here in the studio claim to know it, what absolute truth is. And yet there are claims to the contrary. We should be able to discuss these, because if Christianity has proven anything, it's that it can stand for itself in the public square. We just need to have a non-hostile sort of framework for people to discuss these important issues.
Bill is calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Very well. Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm not sure if I have a question as much as just an observation. Your other callers seem to have a problem with Patrick Henry College having a worldview and a mission statement and that sort of thing. I went to Brown. Brown's an Ivy League, very well thought of university, and it may not have an explicit worldview, but it does have a worldview. And one of the reasons I went to Brown was because it was advertised as being very diverse, meaning open to all sorts of opinions. But the problem was, if you were a conservative Christian, your opinions really weren't welcomed. And I just applaud Patrick Henry for A, having an explicit worldview, and B, promoting the concept of, as that student just mentioned, having an open and free public square. Many of those on the left who tout diversity, they like to have a kind of a closed public square because, in quite honestly, in my opinion, because of their moral relativism, their truth can't stand up to biblical truth and the consistency that biblical truth provides.
So Bill, you raise a great point, Bill, but let me come back and ask you this. With reference to Brown University, I take your point that Brown has, it may feel like it has a view, but as you say, it's not explicit. It's not written in the academic guidelines, for example. Isn't that a bit of a difference?
It's a difference, but one's a de facto, one's a de jure. The fact is that in an absolute de facto sense, if you have a biblical worldview and are willing to stand up for it, you will be shouted out of the public square because those That's who right. tout diversity cannot stand, their arguments cannot stand up to biblical truth, and so you're not welcome. So as a consequence, it's not diversity. It's only a very narrow, basically.
So it's lip service. They're paying lip service to diversity, you're saying. Brian, did I hear you chiming in there and agreeing with Bill?
Yeah, I think Bill has said this very well. And all Patrick Henry students that have been involved in communications or debate know, just from being involved in the debate leagues, that there really is a genuine hostility to Christian ideas that's come up in the last 50 years in America. And so when I talk about the free public square, I think that that's definitely a relevant issue, that hostility to Christian ideas is a discrimination and is something that we at Patrick Henry College would like to see disappear. We think that everybody ought to be able to speak for their opinions without getting unnecessarily shouted down in the public square. So I thank Bill for that observation.
And I like what Bill said about, everybody has an opinion and a belief. I think what I like about Patrick Henry College is they're honest about it. They're willing to put out and say, this is what we believe, whereas other colleges kind of hide behind a veil and call it diversity. And I really think that's less honest and then tripping up everybody else because they actually state clearly what they believe.
Judah Kiley, I understand that you're going to enroll in a seminary after Patrick Henry and you want to become a minister. Brian White, you said you're going to go into the corporate world and eventually like to do public service. Rachel, I'm not sure I asked you what you hope to do when you get out of Patrick Henry.
Well, I'd like to go to law school. That's what my current plan is. And then I'd like to practice law in a way in some form of pro-family advocacy that basically works to strengthen the family and the family values in America.
Well, listen, I want to thank all three of you for coming in today. I really appreciate the time and appreciate the effort you put into this to expressing your views. Thank you very much.
Anthony, thanks. Thank you. Thank you for having us on. I really appreciate the discussion.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you
Absolutely.
Very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Three seniors from Patrick Henry College, Rachel Williams, Brian Wright, and Judah Kiley. I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is On Point.